Now we're holding on page 122 in Shabbos, middle of Ois Tzadik Aleph, four or five lines from the end of the narrow lines. We were sort of talking about yesterday, various Amiroyim were giving different reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed, various Averis and various bad Midas that they had. So far we went through a bunch of them, now we have one more. Of Omar Rava, Loichover Yerushalayim, Elav Shosha Poskim Mena Anshe Amon. The reason Yerushalayim was destroyed is because there ceased to be in it people who are honest, people who are trustworthy. Shenemar, as the Navi says, Shotetu Bechutzis Yerushalayim, wander around in the out in the streets of Yerushalayim, Ur Udnod Uvagomer, and look around and see and know. And he goes on to say, he says, and ask around in the streets, if there's anybody who's doing justice and looking for honesty. And then Hashem says, I would forgive them. So implying that there were no such people. Now, when Marsha points out, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, actually, that there were people who were honest as far as what they know and don't know in learning. But here we're talking about Bechutzis Yerushalayim and Berchaviseha in the streets and the squares of Yerushalayim, places where people do business. So then if you find somebody, so for example, Marsha says, if you're going to try to look over there for somebody who cheated you, you're not going to find him because he's going to try to hide himself. So that he's going to try to hide so that you don't find him. And so you don't find him. In fact, you have a din in the halachas of Aina. Suppose that we talked yesterday in halacha at the end about some basic dinim of Aina that you're not allowed to overcharge or underbid, but you have a case over there that actually describes in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. You could have a case where somebody sells something for a higher price than it's supposed to. So now the din is that the buyer has a certain amount of time. The amount of time that it could be expected to take for him to go and ask an expert, is this in fact how much it's worth? And if not, then he'll go and rescind the deal. And here the seller will deliberately hide so that the guy can't find him within that amount of time. That's what it means. You won't find them in the streets. And then he goes on to say, Sukkim, after that, go on to describe that therefore the Jewish people are going to be attacked by their enemies. So we see that it was because there were not honest people. There weren't any honest people available. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? There were no honest people. Even when Yerushalayim was stumbling, meaning even at the time of the Churban, there never ceased to be honest people. As the pasuk says, ki yispos ish va'achiv, a person is going to grab a hold of his brother, and doesn't have to mean a brother, of course, it means a fellow yid, base of it from his father's house, lamer, and he's going to tell him, simla lacha, you have a garment, kotzin tiyalanu, you should be a leader for us. Now, what does that mean? Does he just mean, in other words, you have fancy clothes, therefore you're going to be a leader? Not necessarily. They're not going to be so superficial. In particular, since the psukim go on to say that the man is going to answer and he's going to say, I don't have lechem or simla. If we're talking about an actual garment, it'll be obvious whether he has it or not. How could anybody think he has one if he actually doesn't? Therefore, the Gemara is understanding instead that it means divrei Torah, where it's possible for people to misjudge a person and think that he knows Torah when really he doesn't. So when they say simla l'cha, they mean dvorim shebnei adam miskasim behem kasimla, words, things of Torah which people cover themselves with like a garment. Meaning, Rashi explains these are things where when you ask people about them, they're not going to know, and they're going to be embarrassed that they don't know, and therefore they're going to try to conceal it as though they're concealing themselves with a garment. Marsha brings from Rashi on the pasuk that explains it differently, that it means like a garment is white and clean. So it means these are things that we think that you know these things as clearly as a clean garment. Anyway, so therefore, they continue in the pasuk. So yeshan and tachas yadecha, we think that you have those in your possession. You are baki in those things, and therefore you should be our leader and teach us. And they continue. V'hamachshela azois tachas yadecha. This stumbling is under your hands, meaning under your control. And that means things of Torah, details of Torah, which most people don't realize, don't come to know them until they stumble over them, meaning until they make a mistake and are corrected. And then that helps them remember it for the future. Yeshna tachas yodecha, those are in your possession. You have knowledge and control of those areas of Torah. So therefore cuts into Yelanu. So they say, you should be our leader. You should be our teacher. You should be our Rebbe. And the Pasuk continues, Yisa, the next Pasuk continues, Yisa bayomahu lemer, he will raise up on that day, and he will say, Loi e choivish lemer, I will not be a choivish. In the simple sense, choivish means like somebody, it can mean a doctor who binds up people's wounds, it can mean somebody who puts people in jail, because being in jail is also called choivish. Anyway, so he says that I will not be a choivish, and the Pasuk continues, Uvelvesi em lechem vein Sinla, and I have no bread or garment in my house. So he says in the Pasuk, Loisi Simoni, Sinam, don't make me a leader of the people. So the Gemara Daushins, first of all, Ein Yisa al Loshen Shvuah, the word Yisa at the beginning of the Pasuk means that he's going to swear to the truth of what he's saying. He's going to say, V'cheinu Omer Loisisa Hashem Hashem, as we find that swearing in Hashem's name is also called Tisa. So he's going to swear, saying, Loi E Yachoivish, when he says, I will not be a Choivish, doesn't mean in the simple sense that he's saying I won't be a healer or I won't be a policeman who puts people in jail, but rather he means Loi Eya Mechoiv She'atzim Beis HaMedrash. I have not regularly been one of those people who are chavush, who are like locked up in the Beis Medrash. You have the people who stay constantly in the Beis Medrash. Metaphorically, they can be called chavshe in the sense, the same way as prisoners are always in jail, the same way a person who's always in the Beis Medrash is always there. So it's as if he's tied to his chair, to his bench. But he's saying, I haven't regularly been such a person. And Rashi points out, Eya does not necessarily mean future tense. It can also mean present tense. So therefore, it means I am not one of those kinds of people who are chov she beis medrash. So I haven't been learning Torah that much. Over vesi and lechem bein simla, and he continues in the pasuk, there's no bread and no garment in my house. That means shein biyadi le mikra v'le mishnah v'le talmud. I'm not familiar with mikra, with Tanakh, or mishnah, or talmud. So don't think that I can be teaching you because I myself don't know. So Marashah teaches out, they're expecting them to paskin halacha for them, and he's answering that, forget about paskin halacha, I don't even know the basics, I don't even know mikra. So therefore we see that people were honest, people would be honest about what they know and what they don't know. And Naf Yosef brings a point over here that maybe what it is that it's not so much, so then how do they make such a blatant mistake? Fine, even with Dibur Torah, how do they think that the guy is such a knowledgeable person when really he's saying, I don't know anything at all? So he gives an explanation that essentially he may know the material, but he doesn't know where in Torah you find it from, which that's an important branch of Torah study as well, is to know where in a pasuk you learn a particular din from. So he's saying that I don't know at all. So we see that the people were very honest. So what are you telling me that there were no anshei amana? So the answer is the Gemara says, why mimai? So why is that a problem? Dilma shiny hosam, maybe it's different over there. Di omala hu gemirna. So what if he lies and he tells them, I do know Torah, omru amule emalan? Then they're gonna say, okay, well then teach us. And then he's gonna be shown up as a liar. So therefore, to begin with, he doesn't want to, he wants to begin with, save himself from that embarrassment. And therefore he'll say flat out that he doesn't know, but not because he's being honest, but just because he wants to avoid that situation. Well, the Gemara says, so what? That wouldn't show, he wouldn't have to say because of that, that he never learned in the Beis Medrash. Havala the Mema Goma B'Shochach. After all, he could get away with the excuse, I did learn this and I forgot it. My loy eyachovish klal. Instead, we have the Novi is saying that he's going to say loy eyachovish. I haven't regularly been one of those people who sits on the benches in the Beis Medrash. So therefore, it has to be therefore that he's honest, and therefore because otherwise, and that's the only reason why he would say that. So the one answer is like Kasha, can be Divrei Torah, can be Maaseh Umatan. So there's a difference. Yes, in Divrei Torah, people were honest. But in Maaseh Umatan, in business, then they weren't. And that's what Yirmiyahu was saying. Go around in the streets and in the squares, and you won't find the honest people. Marsha, by the way, takes a minute to editorialize over here. He says, so far we've gone through seven things for which the Churban happened, seven different Averos or Midas Rois or whatever. He says in his times, and talking 400 years ago, he says, we find pretty much all of them nowadays in our generation, he says. And so the first one, as far as Chilul Shabbos, many people are careless with details of Hilchos Shabbos. And you have to have in every community, there have to be people darshaning to the people in Hilchos Shabbos to explain to them. The next one, as far as that people are staying up late at night and drinking and not saying Shema in the morning and in the evening. You also have, he says, every Matzah Shabbos, people think that it's practically a requirement to get drunk on Matzah Shabbos, and then they wake up late. They wake up late on Sunday. And he goes on to say with each of the other ones, with the Tinokas Shabbos Rabban, the Bittul Tinokas Shabbos Rabban, and the Bacharim also wandering around the streets. He decries over here. You have the whole concept of. The whole concept of Bein Azmanim, the whole concept of there's a break during the summer or whatever, whenever they had the break in those days between sessions, between semesters in the yeshivas, he says, is not a good thing. Yeah, people are doing Bittul Torah then. You find ever since then, you've also had many, many different Gedolei Yisrael over the years have also talked against that. The Maharal also talks about it in some of his Sfarim, and he lived around the same time as the Maharsha, that it's also a problem. You even have those places in Sichas and letters of the Rebbe where he said people wrote to the Rebbe and sometimes that they are having school for 12 months a year and the Rebbe said that really would be much better to the extent that you have people take off for the summer for example a Bacher and take off to be counselors in camps where you're going to have fine you know the camp is a necessity for kids who otherwise aren't going to get any kind of chinuch during the year and they're going to get it in camp then that's a good thing but to go late during the summer is not really a good thing.
The kids nowadays like to party. There's too many parties.
So Marsha is saying that even in his times you had all these problems. And he goes on to say all the other ones as well. Anyway. Yeah. Further on, the Gemara talks about, since we've been talking about the whole matter of if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, what you're allowed to save and what you're not allowed to save. So further on in the Perek, it also talks about that if a goy comes out to put out the fire on his own, then you're not allowed to tell him to put out the fire because that would be amir lakum, but you're also not required to tell him don't because he's doing al das atzmai. And the Gemara even mentions you can have a case where you tell him where you can even announce kol machaber in a mafsid. You can even announce anyone who puts out the fire will not lose out. So you're not blatantly saying I will pay you, but you're implying very strongly that there will be payment involved. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Tana Rabbanan, Maisiv Nafla Dloika Bachatzeder Shal Yosef and Simai Bishan. It happened once that a fire broke out in the courtyard of Yosef ben Simai in Sha'an. Maybe it means Beis Sha'an in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it means someplace else. Anyway, Uvo Anshe Gastra Shal Tzipori L'Chaboisa. The people from the Gastra, which Rashi says means the government, the government offices in Tzipori, which was the nearest large city of Ashtos, they came to put out the fire, Mepnei Sha'apetrupas Shal Melechaya, because this Yosef Ben Simai was actually a trustee for the king. He was in charge of the estates of the king, of managing them and all. So therefore, he's a VIP, and therefore these government officials decided, it's very important, they were going, it's very important. We should come put out the fire for him. But he didn't want to let them. Because of the honor of Shabbos. Which Marsha says, it's not necessarily we're talking that he was an Amma Oretz and he thought it was also or something. He may have known the din that we're saying over here that you could say Kol Machabe in a Mafsir, that if the Goy puts it out on his own, then it's allowed. However, he figured that to be Machmer on himself, so people wouldn't think he being an important person and having connections with the government, people might think that he had actually told them to come. So a Ness happened to him, the Yoduk Shom Vakibu, rain started falling and put out the fire. Ian Yaakov points out, we just had in the Gemara before, we learned yesterday, that the Eina Dloika Mitzuya, that fires are more common in places where the Mechal Shabbos and Dafka Hashem makes them break out on Shabbos. Here you had a fire broke out on Shabbos, and Fakir was saying that this Yosef and Simai was very careful with the honor of Shabbos. That is why, so here there was a fire because of some side thing, whatever, something called, some side thing happened, some accident that caused a fire, but therefore that's why Hashem made such an open nest for him.
This
course made, so his course made, yeah. Made, yeah. So La Erev, that evening after Shabbos was over, Shigur L'chol Echaman Beis Silin, he sent to each one of the firefighters who would come and each of the regular soldiers, he sent two sellers, V'la Parkus Shebehem Dimol or Nun, to the leader of them. He sent three or so, or 50, according to the different Gersois. So he sent them a lot of money to thank them as a gift for the fact that they had come to do the job, even though in the end he hadn't allowed them to. He didn't want them to think, basically, that we came all the way for nothing, and in the future, during the week, they may not be interested in coming. When the Chacham heard the story, that Omru loy hayatzarich lakach, the fact is he didn't need to go through all of that. Sharei shaninu, because after all, we learned in the Mishnah, nachri shabala chabos, that if a goy comes to put out the fire, ein omen like kabe, we can't tell him to put it out, because that would be amir lakum, but al techabe, we don't have to tell him don't put it out, because he's doing it al das atzmoy, mipnei she'en shvisos alem, because you, a yid, are not responsible for the goy keeping Shabbos. So they told Yosef and Simai, for the future, you don't have to be machmir on yourself like that. Okay. Further on, at the end of the perek, it talks about you can have certain kinds of things where you might want to move a keli to cover something. So first, in connection with fires, actually, it mentions you may have, let's say there's a candle burning and it's too close to the ceiling and it may set the ceiling on fire. So then you have a din over there that you're allowed to put a bowl over it to keep the fire from catching onto the ceiling. And then you have a number of other examples that it brings where you're allowed to cover things with a bowl or with a bowl or something on Shabbos. In that connection, the Gemara mentions the point that sometimes you don't even need to cover it per se, you're just allowed to step on it as you're walking. It mentions in the Mishnah, for example, that you can use a bowl to cover, let's say, a dangerous scorpion to prevent it from biting somebody. But also the Gemara says sometimes you don't even need that. If you have such kinds of creatures around your house, you're allowed to just walk. And if you step on them, it doesn't matter because it's dove, shane, and miscavin. You're walking normally. And the Gemara mentions the same thing as far as saliva, for example, even though, again, you're stepping on saliva, you're smoothing out the ground. It would be a tolda of the malacha of chodesh or of boina, because you're smoothing out the ground. But if it's lefi tumah, if it's just the normal way you're walking, then it's fine. So here the Gemara tells a story. Abba bar Marta, dehava Abba bar Manyumi. So he went by two names, Abba bar Marta and Abba bar Manyumi. Maybe Marta was his mother's name and Manyumi was his father's name. Anyway, have a maskebe devei Resh Kolosa Zuzi. The members of the Resh Kolosa's household, he owed money to them. We've learned before that the Resh Kolosa was the governor of the Jews in Babel, and he had tremendous wealth and tremendous political power. So this Abba bar Marta owed them money. So they brought him to the Resh Kolosa's property, and they were harassing him and maybe even beating him or whatever. Have a shoddy ruka. Then there was some saliva lying on the ground. So the Resh Kolosa says to his servants, come get a bowl and put it on top of the saliva so we don't have to see it and nobody steps in it. This was on Shabbos, Rashi points out. By the way, Haboina wonders, I mean, in that case, why are they harassing him to pay the debt on Shabbos? What is he supposed to give them money on Shabbos? So first he says maybe it means different times they were harassing him and whatever, and one particular time he happened to be there on Shabbos. But then he says we do find in other places in Shas where sometimes the Rosh Golusa themselves generally were okay people. Once in a while you have, it mentions ones who were no good next, but on the whole they were good. But there are Vodim not so. We find in a number of places in Shas where there are Vodim were often lowlifes. So that could be over here. Maybe even they're bringing this Abba bar Marta over here and harassing him and trying to force him, even though it's Shabbos. Anyway, so the Resh Golusa is saying get a bowl and cover it. So Abba bar Marta tells them you don't need to. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that when it comes to saliva, you don't have to actually cover it. You can just step on it as you're walking, and that would be fine because, again, it's double shane and miscav. So the Resh Kolosa says to the servants, this is a young Tamid Chacham, Shavkuhu, leave him alone and stop harassing him for the payment. An interesting point one of the Mephoshim makes is that this payment may in particular have been the head tax, which every person who lived in the country at that time was obligated to pay. But the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra and in a couple of other places that Tamid Chachamim are exempt from that tax. Now, this Abba bar Marta didn't want to use the fact that he's a Tamid Chacham to get out of it. That's why the Resh Kolosa's retainers were harassing him. But now, like came out in the course of it that he's a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, the Reish Kabosa tells them not only leave him alone now, but in the future, don't harass him for that tax. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's exempt. Mefanin Perek Shmoina Alser. So the Perek begins by talking about a din. Suppose you have a warehouse or barn or whatever with boxes of straw or grain or whatever in it. Normally, that you have no particular use for those on Shabbos, but the Mishnah says you're allowed to clear away a number of those boxes to make room. The Mishnah says, if you need room for hosting guests, or in order to, because otherwise the base medrash may not be able to function. In other words, they'll use that cleared space for people to sit and learn Torah. So that leads the Gemara into the following discussion. Amar Rav Yochanan, G'doylach noses orchim kash komas beis hamedrash. Welcoming guests and taking care of them is as great a schus as getting up early to go learn in the beis hamedrash. Because we see the Mishnah is mentioning those two reasons why you'd be allowed to clear away the boxes, even though usually it's a tircha that would be also on Shabbos. But here the Mishnah is mentioning these two things, implying that they're on an equal level. Rav Dimi min Ardor says, never mind equal, they're actually, it's greater than Ashkamas Beis Medrash. Because look at the order of the Mishnah. First it mentions Bnei Orchim, only then does it mention Bitol Beis Medrash. So now that's going to lead, because so now that leads the Gemara into a bit of discussion about Hachnosis Orchim. Omer of Yehuda Omer, Avgdoyla Hachnosis Orchim, Meach Bolas Pnei Shchina. Welcoming guests is greater even than taking care of guests is greater even than welcoming the Shechin. Adichtiv, because we find by Avram with him. Hashem is visiting him, Vayera Elav Hashem, and Vayoymar, he says, Adnai, Ibn Nomot Sasichin Beinecha, Hashem, if I've found favor in your eyes, Al Nosar, don't pass away from, don't pass by your servant, meaning that he's setting Hashem aside and going to welcome the earth. Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara in Shavuos has two opinions about it. Rashi also brings them on the Pasuk. One is that the Adnai is addressing Hashem and asking Hashem, like we're saying over here in the Gemara, to not leave while he's serving the Orchim. And in fact, we have later on in the parasha, it says Avram Oydenu Oymed Lifnei Hashem, which Rashi mentions is actually the Torah writes it in a euphemistic way. Really, it should be that Hashem is still standing there waiting for Avram, but it wouldn't be respectful to talk about Hashem like that. So therefore, instead, the pasuk flips it around. But anyway, the Tosfos points out there is another explanation there in the Gemara that the Adnai there is actually Choyl, that it's actually addressed to the Malachim. And he's asking in particular, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, the most senior of the Malachim, don't pass by, let me serve you. And once he's going to stay, then the other two junior Malachim who are with him will stay as well. So it is with a comets, but so that's why that's that. But you have the different opinions whether it means Hashem or whether it means my masters, as in human masters. Where again, you know, he thought he didn't realize they were Malachim; he thought they were Arabs, whatever. So following the opinion that it's referring to Hashem, then we see that welcoming guests is greater than Akbolas Pnei Shechina, because he set aside Hashem and went to take care of the guests. The Rif has a very, very long explanation over here about the ins and outs of it. How does that show that it's greater than welcoming Hashem? After all, at that point, he already welcomed Hashem. He was in the middle of the conversation with him. So all it shows is that Hachnosis Orchim is greater than talking with Hashem. But where do we see then welcoming with Hashem? And he gets into a whole arichus about the order of the psukim and the order of the events over there that yields the point that the Gemara is saying over here, that it is greater even than welcoming the Shechinah in the first place. So come and you can see in this connection that the way that Hashem does things is not the way that a boss of a dum does things. Midas boss of a dum ain't cotton yocholim in the godo hampton atcha over etzlecha. By boss of a dum, a lesser person can't say to a greater person, wait until I come to you. Whereas here we see Avram saying exactly that to Hashem, and that Hashem should wait until he finishes taking care of the guests. Marsha points out that actually there is a logical reason behind it. Because after all, the fact is that, so what are we saying? Then the cotton would be saying, I'm going to go about doing my business or whatever, and you're going to have to wait on me. It's not respectful. But Hashem is Maloi Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo, though. The whole world is, Adarabba, the world is not the place of Hashem. Hashem is the place of the world. So therefore, in a certain sense, Hashem is not really waiting for Avraham. It's not like he's standing there with nothing to do. The whole world is within him anyway. Okay. But that's the thing. In other words, that's what he's saying. It's not really a matter that Hashem has to be moichel on his cupboard, because even if Hashem's gilui shchina is still there waiting, there's no lack of cupboard for Hashem, because Hashem is mekoy mishal olam anyway. So the Gemara goes on. Amar of Yehuda bar Shila, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechanan. Shisha dvarim od oichel odem periseim ba olam azeh. There are six mitzvahs that a person gets the fruits of them in this world, meaning he gets dividends of them. The schar is mainly for Olam Haba, as we're going to say, but there's a certain degree of the schar in this world. Now, Tosfos points out that doesn't necessarily mean a schar as far as a gashmi is to the schar. The fact is, we say in other places in Shas, schar mitzvah hai amaleka, there's no gashmi is to reward for mitzvahs in this world. Even, so you have, for example, the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah discusses the whole point, what about all the brachas that it says in the Torah for people when we observe mitzvahs? That's more, it's not so much the reward for the mitzvah, that's more to give us more opportunities to do the mitzvahs, because only when we're comfortable and have what to eat and have peace and so forth, are we able to learn Torah and mitzvahs uninterruptedly. And then you have the Gemara mentions in those places that even, for example, Kibud Av Ve'Em and Shiluach HaKan, where the Torah does say a reward in this world, L'man Yarichun Yamecha, we know that the Gemara explains that means Arichus Yamin La'olam Shekolei Tov and La'olam Shekolei Oruch, not necessarily in this world. Anyway, so when we say Peter Seim Ba'olam Hazeh, Tosfos explains the Gemara based on the Gemara in Kedushin, it means that suppose a person happens to have exactly half mitzvahs and half averus, but among the half mitzvahs is one of these six that we're going to list, then that weighs things in the direction of schus.
What about in the time when the Rebbe is talking about Sadaka, the reward for the day? What's the story?
So the Alter Rebbe doesn't mention a reward in this world. He mentions the Ruchni is to a reward that a person gets for Sadaka. So again, there is the concept, you have, for example, you have what the Rambam is saying, that when a person uses the resources of the world right, then Hashem gives him more of them to be able to accomplish the same thing. So it is with tzedakah, so to speak. If Hashem sees that a person is taking good care of the money that's entrusted to him, then Hashem gives him more opportunity to do that. But that's not a reward so much as more like schar mitzvah mitzvah. The schar itself is the ability to do more of the same mitzvah.
Says if you give a little smile and a kind word, you get 11 brachas.
Right, so the 11 brachas, we're talking about basically our ruchnistic brachas. We're not necessarily talking in this world. Yeah, so the six things are so, and the principle, the full reward is kept for Olam Haba. The Rambam, by the way, brings, and now part of this list is in the Mishnah at the beginning of Peah, so we had it earlier in Ein Yaakov. The rest of it is here in the Gemara. And actually, when we say in the morning, Eved Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, the first part, Eved Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, Peah of Abikorim, etc., is taken from that Mishnah. The second part, the Eved Dvarim Shadam Echel Perasayim, is partially from that Mishnah, and the rest is from our Gemara. That's the idea, as soon as we say Birkas HaTorah, we want to be able, as soon as possible, to be learning all the major parts of Torah, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapen, Mishnah and Gemara. Therefore, we have Vaidaba Hashem al Moshe Lema, which is Pesukim, and Eved Dvarim, which is respectively Mishnah and Gemara. Anyway, the Rambam at the beginning of Masechta Peah on that mission explains in Perusha Mishnayos that all these six things they benefit other people as well. So therefore, that's why he gets paid the same Ba'olam Hazeh. Anyway, the six are Ve'Elohein Hachnosas Ochim, were welcoming guests, or Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, the Iyun Tefillah, having Kavana in davening. Tosfos in a number of places in Shas points out that there's two things that go under the name Iyun Tefillah. There are other places in Shas that it says that Iyun Tefillah is a bad thing. So Tosfos says the difference is Iyun Tefillah that we're saying over here gets a person a great schar, means having kavana, doing davening. The Iyun Tefillah that the Gemara talks about negatively in other places is more where the person thinks to himself, I had such kavana in davening, for sure Hashem is going to do what I asked. And that's just going to lead him to disappointment, because Hashem has his own calculations of whether what the person asked for was going to happen or not. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Iyun Tefillah. Vashkoma space in Midrash, getting up early to go learn in the base Midrash. Vamagado bonav the Talmud Torah, a person raises his children to learn Torah. Vadonas chaber v'kafschus, and when a person judges somebody else favorably, even under conditions where on the face of it you think he's done something wrong, but you find a good reason to justify what he's doing. Which the Gemara is going to go on to tell stories in that connection. So the Gemara asks Amy, so is that so? You're telling me that all these six things, Odom Ochel Perasein Ba'olam Azeh, what about the Mishnah and Peah? Eved Vorim Sha'odom Oysan Ochel Perasein Ba'olam Azeh, he gets the Peahs in this world, Ba'keren Kaimas La'olam Abah, Ve'elohein Kibud Avraim, Ugmilas Chasadim, so Kibud Avraim wasn't on Rabbi Yochanan's list, Gmilas Chasadim, Va'avas Shalom Ben Odom Lachaveroi, bringing peace between one person and another, but Talmud Torah connected Kulam, and Talmud Torah is equivalent to all of them. So all the ones that Rabbi Yochanan is listing, Achnosas Ochman, Gigul Cholim, and so forth, are missing from that list. So Hani in Midachrin Aloy, it sounds like only those that are in the Mishnah, nothing else. Where is Rabbi Yochanan getting his list from? The answer is Hani Nami Gmilas Chasadim Shaychi. All of these things that Rabbi Yochanan lists are all outgrowths of Gmilas Chasadim. So Rashi explains, Achnasas Orchim and Bikur Cholim, of course, are part of Gmilas Chasadim. Iyun Tefila is also included in Gmilas Chasadim in the sense that there's a posik that says, Goimel Nafshe Ish Chesed, the person of Chesed does a kindness for his own neshama. So when he himself has concentration in davening, that he's doing a chesed for his own neshama, and therefore that's considered Gmilas Chasadim. Hashkamas Bismidrash and raising his children to learn Torah are part of Talmud Torah, and Donas Kaver Lakafskus is part of Avar Shalom. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's list is just an expansion of things that are included within the ones mentioned in the Mishnah. Loshin Lishna Achrina, another way of expressing it, Hani Shaychi, they have to do one with another. And again, like each one of them is an outgrowth of one or another one's mentioned in the mission. In morning davening, the list that we have is a little bit different, actually. We have a couple of ones that are not here in the Gemara, and there are a couple of the ones in the Gemara that are missing over here, but because there are different Gersois, and there's also different ways, the Yerushalmi also has a slightly different list. So altogether, the list that we have in the Siddur is kind of a blend of many different sources. Okay. So, when a person judges another yid favorably, then Hashem judges him favorably. And we have a story to illustrate this. That we have there was a man who went down from the upper Galil in the north of Eretz Yisrael, the Nisker, it's a Balabai Sechad Badorim, and he hired himself out to work by a certain Balabas in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Shalish Shonim, for 3 years. By the way, Marsha explains that Iyun Tefillah is not only, Rashi had said it's part of Gmilas Chasadim, Marsha says it's also part of Avar Shalom, because Tefillah brings Shalom between us and Hashem. Anyway, you're davening for other people as well, yeah. So this person had gone and hired himself out for 3 years. Iyun Yaakov, by the way, refers to, there's actually a halacha, a person is really not supposed to hire himself out for longer than 3 years, because any more than that, it's tantamount to making himself an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, after all, normally works for 6 years, and the Pasuk says he works twice as long as a Sochir, so the implication is that a Sochir normally works for a maximum of 3 years. You also have a Pasuk in Yeshaya that expresses that, so the implication is that the maximum time a person should usually hire himself out for is 3 years. So this person did that. Erev Yom Kippurim, Omalei Ten Li Schori, on Erev Yom Kippur, he says to his boss, give me my pay, Ve'elech Va'ozunas Ishti Yuvane, and let me go feed my wife and children. So we have what to give them before Yom Kippur. Omalei Ein Li Mois, so the Balabas tells him, I have no money available. Omalei Ten Li Peres, so the worker says, so give me produce. Omalei Ein Li, he says, I don't have. Ten Li Karka, so give me land, and I'll sell the land. Ainly, I don't have. Tenly behemoth, give me animals. Ainly. Tenly koramuksosis, give me pillows and blankets. Give me blankets and not blankets, pillows and cushions, at least. Ainly. And then nothing. So the worker slung his tools behind his back, and he went home very disappointed, figuring that he worked all this time for nothing. La'achar regal, after Yom Tov, after Sukkos, not to balabais schor biyodi, the balabas took all the pay, the whole amount of the payment with him. The imoy masui shalish chamarim. He also brought along with him 3 donkeys carrying provisions. Echad shal Michael. One was loaded up with food. The echad shal mishta. Another one with drinks. The echad shal minim begadim. And a third one with various kinds of clothing for the worker and his family. The holach leibase. And he goes to the worker's house. After they ate and drank and he paid him, Omaloi, so the Balabas asks him, Vishosha Mautali Tenli Schori, when you asked me to give you your pay, Vamauti, Amy Mois, and I said I had no money, Bamechashantoni, what did you suspect me of? Did you think that I was trying to cheat you, or did you think maybe the worker answers, Amauti, Shema Prakmatia Bizon is Damin Loch. Maybe you had a good business deal where you could buy merchandise very cheaply. All of a sudden came up. So you took all of your ready cash and invested in that, and therefore you didn't have any ready cash available. So Marsha points out, in that case, why didn't he ask him to get some of that prakmatia, or some of that merchandise? Or at least you should tell him, so fine, go sell some of that merchandise and give me the money. So Marsha says, well, that's why we said it was Erev Yom Kippur. There's no time at that time really when anybody's going to be interested in buying that prakmatia. So therefore he had to wait until afterwards to be able to sell it. He says, over Shasha Martili Tenli Behema. So the Balabas continues, when you asked me to give you animals, Vamarti Aim the Behema, Bamecha Shantani, what do you suspect me of? He says, maybe you rented out your animals to other people, so you can't break the lease, so therefore you didn't have them. What about when I said I have no land? So he says, same idea. Maybe you leased it to other people. Mukheras, Rashi mentions specifically, is that you lease it to somebody, and he's supposed to pay you X number of kurim, X number of bushels of grain per year. So again, you can't break that unilaterally. What about when I said I have no produce? He says, Amarti Shema Einu Musarin. Maybe you hadn't taken Meiser. And he also, Marsha points out, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Taking Meiser takes time. You have to measure it, at least as far as taking Meiser, because you have to take 10%. The guy may not have had the time, Erev Yom Kippur, and the worker was in a hurry to get home to his family before Yom Kippur, so therefore he couldn't wait around for the Balabas to Meiser. What about when I said I have no pillows or cushions? He says, Amarti, Shema Hikdish Kol Nechosav L'Shamayim. Maybe you will makdish all your possessions to Hashem, to Hekdish, and therefore they don't belong to you, and therefore you can't pay me. Which, in fact, Marsha says, it's not like, I mean, he could have used that to begin with. He could have said, in that case, the money and the animals and everything could be part of that. He's trying to find more realistic things. Only when it came to Korim Uksosis, you could clearly see they're in the house. Obviously, he has them. So then the only possible thing that he could think of is that maybe they'd been given away to Hekish. Omaloi, so the Balabas tells him, Avoida, I swear by the Avoida of the Bes Mikdash, Kachoya, that is exactly what happened. He doubted. Marsha points out, by the way, this story may have been after the Churban. In that case, the Avodah of the Bez Mikdash doesn't exist anymore. Nevertheless, that was the standard type of Shavuah they talked about. He mentions also that was the standard kind of Shavuah that they would use in those days. He says, Beremez also, this is the Nekudas, so the word Avodah are the same Nekudas as Yudke Vovke, at least the way it's printed in Sidurim, which is actually the Nekudas of Shem Adonai. But therefore, when you're swearing by Ha'avodah, in effect, you're swearing in Hashem's name. Anyway, so Havoida, Kachoya, that's exactly what happened. He doubted Kol Nechosai. I did donate all of my possessions to Hekdish, Bishvil Hukunus Bini, because of my son Hukunus, Shalai Osek Batorda, because he's not learning Torah, and therefore I figured I want to disinherit him and I'm going to give it all to Hekdish, which, by the way, is not the right thing to do. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, but nevertheless, that's what he was thinking to do. But when I came to my friends, my fellow Talmid Chachamim in the south of Eretz Yisrael, he tirali kol nedarim, and they will matter all my nedarim. Now those pillows and cushions and everything else belongs to me again. But ata, so as far as you, the worker, just like you judge me favorably, so Hashem should judge you favorably. Marsha, by the way, compares this with, we had a few days ago, when Rabbi Zelikson was teaching the shiur the other evening, that you have Rabbi Yossi had said on himself, halavai, I would have a portion with people who are unjustly suspected. So why is the Balabas over here saying you should be judged favorably by Hashem? Still, first of all, a person doesn't want to be unjustly suspected. And besides, anyway, over here, the fact is he did act in a way that invited suspicion. Rabbi Yossi is saying over there, you may have a person who didn't even do anything that invites suspicion, and still people suspect him for no good reason, then therefore you hate Chelki with such people. But here, after all, the Baal HaBos had acted in a way that seems to be very improper, and therefore he's saying, instead of that, I'm glad that you were Dan Mila Kafskos, and Hashem should do the same. It is brought, they bring from the Rishonim, bring from Shiltis, which is a sefer from one of the early Gaonim, Rabbi Choy Gaon, and has a lot of Gersois in the Gemara that we don't have in our Gemaras. He says the two people in the story, the Baal HaBos was Rabbi Eliezer, who in fact we find in other Gemaras had a son named Hyrcanus. His father was Hyrcanus. He had a son named Hyrcanus, and the worker was Rabbi Akiva. So this was the Raman Mifano brings this in his Shailos Atruvos, and he says this must have been before Rabbi Akiva had started learning Torah when he was still an Am Haaretz. And still we see what good midas he had even back then when he was an Am Haaretz.
Except that he would
bite the Talmud Chacham. What? He would bite the Talmud Chacham, but even because he held it against the Talmud Chachamim, that they consider themselves higher than the Am Haaretz, but we still see what fine midas he had even at that time. So they explain in that case, Taka, why doesn't the Gemara? That, with that said, though, Marsha seems to say that not, because Marsha says usually when we have the next story is with Chosid Echad. He says may have been after the Churban. This one, Taka, may have been when the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. There is an explanation that's given. So Taka, why doesn't the Shiltas has the Girsa that it was the two of them? Why Taka doesn't all Gemara have it? One reason may be because in fact Taka, it is improper for a person to be Makdish all his possessions, and therefore the Gemara doesn't want to identify Rebbe Eliezer as having done something like that, which would be wrong. I'll pay off. How would there be ribbis? He didn't lend him money. Oh, because there's no loan over here. There's a he worked for him. That's different. That's not a loan. Yeah, but that's it's a different kind of owing money. It's a different kind of owing money. So therefore, yeah, it's not. Together with him also. Yeah, but yeah. There is a good deal interesting discussion of halacha about some of the ins and outs of the story over here, including, for example, Rabbi Eliezer himself. We find holds that you can't be matur nedarim of hekdesh. So how could he be if Rabbi Eliezer is the Baal HaBos of it? How could he even matur his neder? One interesting answer I think that Sam Sofer gives is he says the expression my chaverim will matur all of my nedarim, implying that he had made a neder covering a bunch of different things. And then they were matter some of the other nedarim and neder shehut mekzase hut kule. Once part of the neder is canceled, then the whole thing is gone. So therefore, that also included the part with the hekdesh. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Geula Yud 7. The Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya in the Geras Hakodesh Chof Hei, when you have a piece of the Zohar over there that sounds like it's saying that we won't need to learn Nigla La'osid Lavoi, and the Alter Rebbe says, how is it possible? The Moshe Mashiach, won't we need to know Hilchos Isav Heter? How are we going to Shecht Korbanos and Cholim for that matter? You need to know all the halachas of Shchita, everything that passels the Shchita and that passels the knife. You know, nobody is born with the talent to be a Shechit and not do Shehiya and Drosa. The knife itself is not always going to be sharp and smooth. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say that even then, we will need to know Hilchos Iser and Heter and Truma V'Tara. But as the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, that we will need to know them, but they'll actually be revealed, they'll be known to every Yid with prior knowledge. They won't forget them, so they won't really need to be Oisik in them. We'll be Oisik in Torah in Pnimiyas HaTorah, and we'll know these halachas, which the Alter Rebbe is saying. The fact is, we're going to need to know them, but we're not really going to need to focus on learning them because we're going to know them instinctively. Okay, continuing on halachas of maso matan. If a person measures out or weighs out something with lesser than he's supposed to, whether to a yid or whether to a goy, then he's over on a lav, and there's a very severe punishment for that. Because after all, especially a person who does that can never really do proper tshuva. He's not going to know who to return it to. So even if the Gemara advises that if a person did do that, he should use the money, but he should use his money for tzorchei rabbim, and it's still not a complete thing because not necessarily are the rabbim who use whatever it is that he makes or funds or whatever, not necessarily are they going to be the same customers that he cheated. So a person has to be very careful with that kind of thing.